Hello, everybody.
And welcome.
Welcome to another episode of The Dicey Duo with
Kai
and Rain. We're going to start out with our per use tavern talk.
Boo, 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 boo. We don't have a theme song yet.
No. Yet. We might have. I don't know. Maybe.
As she is the one who edits. Maybe we have one. Maybe. Who knows? Doubtful.
Hi, Kai.
What's up, Rain? Saturday. Yeah, it's been.
So, have you been?
I am going to beat you to the punch. I'm sunburnt at the moment.
Dang it. I was. So, I walked up today and I was like, oh my gosh, Kai, you look so sunburnt. Did you go to the beach today? And he's like, yeah. Thank you for noticing.
And then she said she was also going to mention it immediately on the podcast. So I'm going to beat her to the punch and say, I went to the beach today, got some sun, and I'm sunburned. I only put sunscreen on my back.
Oh my gosh. Why would you do that?
Well, technically, I didn't. My sister did. I was like, can you get my back? And I was going to do the rest. And then the bottle was on the ground and I ran into the waves instead.
So your front is also.
Yeah, sunburned. My front. Doesn't feel sunburned, but like definitely my arms and shoulders.
Your chest looks red. He has a shirt on.
At the moment.
Oh my God.
Not suggestive at all. But no, yes, I mean, even just clavicle wise, I'm sure I'm red.
All right. That's fine. I
hope it's fine. No, I mean, I'm going to be fine. I've lived here for a while and I burn fine. I don't have.
You
cancer
do have what?
Yet. Anyway.
What the? Okay, let's not.
Skin cancer. As my mother would say, cancel that in the name of Jesus.
Cancel that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm Filipino. I don't sunburn. If I am out all day in the sun without any sunblock, maybe.
But sure.
I have never sunburned in my life.
Lucky.
I am turning 29 this year, so.
I'm turning 28.
Yeah.
I guess you are like a full year.
My sister's
like at least 2 years.
Younger than
my
you?
Middle sister's at least a year and a half.
Oh, nice.
Or 2 years. I'm 27. She's like at least 25 at the moment.
Look at that.
I'm really bad. You know, as a big brother, fun fact, really bad at remembering my sister's ages. I mainly remember my youngest because she is 21 now, so she can drink.
She could drink. I am the youngest of four, and I tend to act like the older sister. I think it's just because my actual older sister just loves, you know, being the funny one. I'm like, I let her just, you know, she is really
gotcha.
Funny,
you're the responsibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like we have like the same energy because you are the oldest and I feel like sometimes I can be the oldest.
So. You definitely give like either big sister or at least like paternal energy. You're a mom, so.
Yeah, I mean even before I had kids.
Right.
It was like
I think it's something innate. That. It's not something you can like learn. I mean, I'm sure you can learn it like to be better, but the want is all kind of innate. That's why I like certain people don't want kids.
Kids, I know. I always wanted kids. I want kids young. I literally had this conversation today with a new coworker of mine. She's 22 and
baby.
Mm-hmm. But I was her age when I had my first.
Oh.
Yeah. So but my thing is like I always wanted kids young because my parents had me at 42 and 46.
Oh, right. So by the time you were 20, they're like 60, 70. So now they're they're like old.
I lost my dad like a couple of years ago. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
And don't want to let them go through that.
Absolutely. Like I want to like like spend time with my grandkids and like
totally
see them, you know, grow up and stuff and be there.
Because JJ's like what?
He's turning 7 this year.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Right, right. So, okay. I mean, yeah, math and mathing. So by the time he's an adult, you'll be in your 40s and fucking vibing.
Yo, yeah. I'd be like, I don't gotta worry about.
I'm a cool mom.
I'm already the cool mom.
With new tits. No, kidding.
I will get a new tattoo coming June.
Oh, yeah. Your new Taliesin Jaffe tattoo. Yeah. I was gonna go Critical Role, but it's Taliesin Jaffe.
It's more Taliesin Jaffe Taliesin Jaffe's character from Campaign 2.
Taliesin Jaffe.
It's not just him. It's not him. It's a snake.
Okay, that's fair.
All right.
What's the snake about?
The snake is Molly Mock. So
is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The snake kind of like represents Molly Mock.
Interesting. I didn't know snakes. Is he depicted with snakes a lot? I don't remember.
I know it's peacock feathers, and then he has like a snake tattoo on his body somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, on Molly Mock's body, not Taliesin.
And many eyes.
Yeah, and
I wonder if Taliesin has like a Molly Mock tattoo. Sidebar, but yeah. I don't know. You'd like to know. sorry, I'm calling
you
so out.
Me out?
Sorry, yeah, not publicly. My bad. No, but it's beautiful. You did it yourself?
I did. Just for everybody's visual sake, I just gave Kai a middle finger for outing me about my deep crush on Taliesin Jaffe.
Yes, his eldritch being.
Anywho. Yeah, I drew it myself. I wouldn't say I'm an artist, but when I do draw things,
it's solid.
Like, yeah. I take the time.
Yeah.
I take the time to do
You've
it.
You've got it.
I designed Solid. My first tattoo. The one on my right like
that
bicep.
That turtle?
This turtle, I designed this.
What in the hell?
Yeah. So my first tattoo,
What's in the middle? Is it a tree?
It's a cherry blossom tree.
Wow.
Yeah. I wanted it to be something like super special. I didn't want my tattoo to be like the typical first tattoo where you regret it, or it's something stupid, or something too small, or something too big.
I will never regret Qui-Gon Jinn.
Hell no.
I have my first and only current tattoo is a little baby lightsaber of Qui-Gon Jinn.
I got this on my birthday.
Sick.
Yeah, so it's 8 years old.
Whoa, it's older than JJ.
I just turned 21. I did a whole birthday week celebration. I used to live in Northern California, so I took the train from San Jose, California to Portland, spent a couple days there, and then took a bullet train up to Seattle and spent my 21st birthday there. I got really drunk at a cabaret, like, Ooh. Show. I told everybody it was my birthday, and everybody bought me shots and champagne.
Hell yeah.
And
best
I got
thing to do.
Super drunk, and the Seattle Eye was open, like, all night that time. I don't know if, post-COVID, if hours have changed or anything.
Probably not. Or probably the change.
Yeah, it was, like, the middle of the night, and my friend and I, shout out to Sean, my oldest friend, he and I got on to like one of the, just the Ferris wheel carts.
Okay.
And I drunk called my mom, like, in the middle of the night, and she was like, hello? And I was like, I love you, mom. She was like, happy birthday. And I'm like, thank you. And she goes, are you freaking drunk right now? And I go, no. And she goes, oh my God, call me in the morning. And I was okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that's cute. So what is the characters on it?
So clear my throat. So it is a tribal tattoo of a turtle. A turtle is a sea turtle, to be exact.
Honu.
When I was 17, my sister took me to Kauai, and she used to have a timeshare out there. And she like won a raffle for her and another person to go scuba diving with an instructor. It was like a class.
Cool.
So when I went scuba diving, a sea turtle swam up to me. You know, you're not supposed to touch them. Blah, blah, blah. Right?
Uh-huh.
They're protected creatures.
Yes.
But this turtle, like, it swam.
But if it touches you, that's
up
different.
To me. Yeah, it swam up to me and, like, grazed its fin on my, like, on my arm.
On the arm that I put the tattoo? No.
The other. And I was just like, oh, my God. And then before it swam away, it, like, circled around me, like, and then, like, looked at me. So, like, its head, like, just swam past me and then just swam off. And I was like, oh my God.
It was a moment.
It was definitely like a very, you know, pivotal part of why I got this tattoo.
Nice.
And, you know, they signify wisdom and, you know, good things like that. And a lot of people have told me, like, wow, you're so wise for your age. And I go, it's because of the trauma.
Totally.
But anyway.
The characters.
Yeah, the characters. So.
Left Finn.
Here is Spirit.
Cool.
The kanji for spirit. The kanji for soul.
It's on the tail. Meanings. Cool.
And then this is a kanji for cherry blossoms. Because cherry blossoms, this is how I say it, right? You can see through the shell that is my soul. You can see through the shell into my soul, but you cannot touch it.
Mm.
Right? It's like a transparent shell that you can see my soul through. And when you see through it, it is a cherry blossom tree. A cherry blossom tree is a, you know, very dainty, you know, cutesy little flower. But every spring it loses its, you know, its blossom.
Every and winter?
Every spring. Every winter and every
okay, year. I was like tripping. I was like, did I not know seasons?
Yeah.
Or are cherry blossoms like weird like that? That they like.
No, they blossom in the spring and then they lose their flowers, right? Cool. As soon as the leaves grow. And so.
Like
as,
trees.
Yeah, like trees do. And so when the blossoms, you know, go away, you are left with the tree itself. And a tree, the cherry blossoms tree, is a very strongly rooted tree in the ground. And. That's what you see.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it means a lot to me. I got it on my 21st birthday and I was like, you know, that's the thing. Like I shop around for like tattoo artists who can help me, you know, bring these
reach
visions.
Your vision.
Yeah.
Totally. Love that.
Yeah. And so with Molly Mock, Caduceus, Taliesin Jaffe tattoo.
Yeah, what's the quote?
The quote on there is, pain doesn't make people. It's love that makes people.
It's love that makes people.
And I really, like, took that to heart the first time I heard it. Because if you know me, I am a person who has gone through a lot of trauma and a lot of, like, pain. But, and once you know this about me, a lot of people usually question, well, why are you such a loving person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because no matter what happened to me and no matter how many times people have hurt me physically, emotionally, mentally, that doesn't change the fact that I am a loving person and the people who have been with me and have been through the pain with me have showed me love and support. And so when I heard that quote for the first time, I broke down into tears. I was like...
Like live during the episode?
Yeah. And I was like...
Damn.
I was like, how can a person like just peer in through somebody's soul like that? And it, you know, it changed like my kind of like perception of the reason why I am like a very hardcore Taliesin Jaffe fan is because he... You know, seems like he is a very, I want to say like he's gone through so much pain in his life as well that it really just resonates.
Sure.
Not the pain, but like the wisdom that came from it resonates. And
totally.
Whoever, you know, witnessed that and can see that.
Sure.
You know, they feel seen and they resonate with that, so yeah, that's why I am a hardcore Taliesin. Anyway,
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
there was a quote I was going to get for a while that was really, I can't believe this. It's from a League of Legends character. I think it's from Gnossus.
Oh my.
Do you know who Gnossus is?
Yeah.
Okay. The main quote, I believe, goes, mind plus will equals fate. And I really liked that at the time. Because I hope that's true. I hope it is. But yeah, that was a quote I was going to get for a while. A tattoo I was going to get for a while. But yeah. What did you do this week?
I worked a lot, actually. Finding new jobs, training my replacements, but also, whatchamacallit, kind of navigating this whole up in the air kind of situation of everything going on.
Lots of things up in the air.
But I, you know, remain to stay relevant in my job, and it looks like I might be staying on as a not necessarily permanent hire, but like
consultant
maybe. Okay. So we'll see. So cool. We'll see.
Something.
Yeah.
We like something.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, would you like to jump right in?
Hell yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, I think
it is your turn to roll.
Let's do it. I'm gonna use this little cup.
Okay.
Sorry for audio listeners. Here we go. 10. Wonderful. On today's Roll for Encounter, Campaign Chronicles.
Okay.
I have a story.
Okay.
So, yeah, last time I was like telling my buddy about the Roll for Encounters of this podcast, and he was laughing at all the different names we have. and I was telling him about this one in particular, and he's like, oh, you have to tell him about the meat pies. I was like, oh my God, damn you. And what? So I'm going to tell you guys about a story about one of my first main long-term D&D groups that I DM'd for was a COVID group that I put together of like family friends. Mm-hmm. And so they'd never played D&D before, and they jumped right into it. It went really well.
That's awesome.
It was a homebrew thing at first, and then I realized how crazy that is to do
a homebrew.
Homebrew and think of everything every week. And so I needed a break, and so I was like, okay, I'll do Curse of Strahd. Mm-hmm. One of the D&D modules. And so, spoilers for Curse of Strahd, everybody. You have 5 seconds. Five. Now I'm gonna suck. Curse of Strahd has these three witches who hang out in a windmill, and their main thing is they want children
to eat,
to specifically make into pies.
Oh, so to eat.
Specifically to eat, but specifically to grind their bones.
Oh my God.
Yes. So because they go to, so they have a windmill. Calcium?
Like what the heck?
I don't know, but they use the grinded bones of these children. I'm sure they eat the children and they use the bones.
Okay.
I think they eat the children and then just use the bones. I don't know what they do with the children. It doesn't really specify.
You know, I love but this.
There's a cycle. They make these pies, these little dream pies. And so they like go into the little village of Barovia, which is the first place that you like find yourself in, the first civilization you find yourself in when you are spirited away to the lands of Barovia.
Yeah.
And so there's just this like crone walking around with like a cart full of pies. And so you can get them, and they're basically heroin. Where they will transport you.
Sweeney Todd.
I actually never. I have no clue. Oh my god! We need to watch
Sweeney Todd, because then you'll understand. Like, so Sweeney Todd of them.
sure, for sure. I bet. So these pies like transport you to a dream like land or state of mind, and their main side effect is they leave you wanting more.
Oh, so heroin.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I called him heroin. And so the cycle is like these adults will get these pies and get hooked, and then they will give their children to the to these hags.
Payment for these heroin pies?
Yeah, to get more pies until, you know, just like heroin, you're pretty much
addicted. Oh, so then you are now, you know, trying to now kidnap other children.
Whatever you gotta do.
Oh, gosh.
Whatever happens. And so it's terrible. So they do as adventurers do, and they murder these
heroin addicted
parents. When they get to the windmill, they just simply attack and kill off the three hags, this coven. And so they get their cookbook and they're like, what about those pies? And so maybe it wasn't an initial idea, but they take the cookbook and roll for encounter. There's lots of random encounters can be rolled as you're moving throughout. They kept rolling like wolves, like over and over. So they killed like over 30 wolves in the span of several encounters. You know, wolves and the nearby wildlife are all servants of Strahd. So the wolves chasing them and attacking them are all kind of fodder, really, to butter up the adventurers. And so they had 30 pounds of wolf meat. They were doing what I guess everyone does when you really first get into D&D and loot things. You're like, I want everything. So I have a pelt. I have all. Tell me how many pounds of wolf meat do I have?
Yeah.
And so by the time they got to the second village, they already had a concocted plan that they were going to
sell the meat.
Make a wolf meat pie
laced with heroin
with the cookbook of the hags and start their own business of it. Mm-hmm. So they continue this adventure, and I do all kinds of first time DM mistakes.
My hand is raised.
You have a question? Yes, Rain.
Yeah. So what in this? In the hag, what in the hag?
No. What in the hag?
In the hag cookbook.
Yes.
What were the ingredients to make them so addicted?
Children bones.
I understand that, but it was the children bones that made them addicted?
Yes.
That's interesting.
It was the magical thing they needed to make the magical pies. You heard it here first, folks. Children bones.
In D&D.
Deep state type shit. These hags, it's, you know, classic, you know, mm-hmm. the lady who got, is it like Hansel, what's who, Hansel and Gretel Hansel were in the, Gretel. Was a hag and her sugar house.
Yeah. Definitely been a victim. I cannot say no to sweets. Anyway.
So, okay. Pies. Long story short, they escape this entire Spirited Away area. They become so dang powerful that role play wise, I'm a logical person.
Yeah.
Strahd, the big bad, didn't want to fight them because he would have just died and the cycle would have repeated. So instead, he offered these evil people, by the way, as they were starting to sell heroin pies.
Oh my gosh.
Wolf meat pies and making money off of it. Teamed up with Strahd to help him escape this demiplane that he was a part of. And so when I felt ready and I was done with Curse of Strahd, they were also I was doing a bit. I was, or not a bit. I was circumventing a very in-depth dungeon. That was the end. Curse of Strahd, Castle Ravenloft in Curse of Strahd is the craziest map I have ever seen for D&D. It is a crazy vampire Castlevania castle with turns and wives and creatures and crypts. So many crypts. And spoilers, as I've said, he has teleporters everywhere.
Just like Castlevania.
In this castle.
Yeah.
Not to other, well, I assume maybe to other parts. Yes, to other parts of the castle, but also to other parts of the valley.
Uh-huh.
So Strahd, the entire campaign, is able to just like follow boop, boop. You around. Boop, yeah. Boop, boop. Yeah, he's got that shit on lock. So,
Dragon Ball Z, fingers to the forehead.
Yeah, I mean, not quite like sensing their key, but yeah, like, yes, instant transmission over to.
Yeah.
There's so many times in the moment where like there are there's so many times in the module that he's just there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, how the hell did he get here? Like, didn't he just go to the village?
Yeah.
Didn't we just see him go in that direction?
How is he here?
How is he in the opposite direction? Anyway. Yeah. They escape. They go back to my main world and they avidly continue the pie business. Oh. And so in my homebrew world,
oh my gosh,
I think I started giving them enough shit about it. Cause like I myself am like, I consider myself to be someone who tries to be morally good.
Yeah.
And so just watching them be so capitalistically evil.
I love it.
Was crazy.
Yeah.
And so I think I made them feel bad like enough neutral? That they were like, you know what? We're going to get the populace hooked and then we're going to take the ingredient out and we're just going to have
slowly get rid of the children bone part.
Yeah. Yeah. Which by the way, last part, just to finish off the story, there were like werewolves in Barovia. There was like a den of werewolves and there were werewolf children. Multiple of them.
Uh-huh.
And they convinced them to simply walk into a bag of holding.
Look. Oh my god.
And that's the end of my campaign. That's the end of my
story. Traumatized. I love it.
Lord of me. I'm realizing
what
I did DM diaries instead of campaign chronicles.
I'm
realizing we need to develop campaign chronicles because that is supposed to be a per episode small mini campaign. So we really need to actually figure out before next episode.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's fine.
What the theme of our little mini campaign is going to be.
All right, let's think about it right now.
So that was DM's diaries. Not
what in the mini campaign that we will run for this podcast. What is the theme?
You want to do that right now?
Yeah.
That's up to you. I feel like because I'm the DM, I'm primarily a DM. Unless you want to take a crack at DMing.
Absolutely not.
Exactly. So I'll DM for.
Yeah, but I want to come up with like the concepts and stuff.
No,
like,
sure. So I mean, it's going to be.
I'm more of a screenwriter and a director, and you're the showrunner.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a little bit of directing,
obviously.
Because
I'm co-director.
Yeah. You're definitely a producer. Boom, and an boom. Actor?
And an actor, yeah.
You're the actor, and thus you will be the player.
I will act. I don't know.
Oh! What was your idea? I had an idea. What was your idea?
Can I play Alistair?
I was just going to say the same thing. Let's Yay! let's roll with Alistaria.
Yeah.
Next time we roll Campaign Chronicles and I'll have a little story. And because she's all draconic,
yeah,
we'll just have it in my homebrew world of the Dragon Isles.
Oh my gosh, okay. Freaking perfect.
Wonderful. Okay.
My turn.
Rain's turn for encounter.
7.
Character corner. Which did we do that last week?
I think we did character corner last week.
Reroll.
I really want to.
We will reroll when really we have done something three. Before, by the way. We will not do things over again.
Because 3 is dicey confessions, but she's it doesn't ready. Have to be about the D&D.
It isn't. No, she's. I guess she's ready to.
I'm just ready to spill some tea, I guess.
Spill some tea. Oh no, publicly.
No! Oh my god, you will not guess you what that not. Number is. It's three.
I watched you roll it too. I was like, I'm at an angle where I can't quite see the number, but I see it's like shape, and I'm like, that's a three.
It's a three.
Damn. All right. Well, I can't wait for our first ever edition of
Dicey Confessions.
Please okay. take it away. What do you got? And please think about if you can talk about it publicly. Let's use names. Let's talk about Bob and Jill. If others are involved. But go ahead.
No. I think I just, you know, there is this person in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I started talking to you about this person. I played a song.
Oh, okay.
That about this person.
Really?
Yeah.
That person. Okay.
Yeah. I was young.
Uh-huh.
I say young, and I'm, you know, we're in our late 20s. But like, it was like 10 we're years ago. There. 10, 11 years ago. I was
Which doesn't
18.
Feel that long.
It doesn't feel that long, but I've had a whole freaking life.
Yeah, it's been a decade.
Then. Yeah, as it's they say. Been, yeah. It has been. It's been 11 years. But so I think we touched on this when we recorded our first like session about how
okay.
you know, I used college as a means to escape the environment I was in.
Ah.
Yeah. And I got into this relationship with a guy. And it kind of hence, I wouldn't say kind of like curated every other step I've taken since 18,
but
since college.
See, maybe informed it.
But definitely maybe jaded about a lot of things.
It's impacted you.
Yeah, it's definitely impacted me. And then I eventually got in a relationship with a person who came to be like, I wouldn't say like keynote speaker, but like just an advisor for one of the theater classes that I was taking. And so, you know, being young and then not having like the best experiences in relationships, I ended up being like this guy's like side piece, but he didn't totally. Tell me. And the dicey confession of it all is he's here in Hawaii.
Ooh. And you're like aware of it.
And I don't know if he's aware that I'm here, but
I mean, how would he?
I've cut off complete contact with this person since.
So they're unless he's like stalking.
Unless
you.
He's like actively stalking me on Facebook, which
how did you, okay. So how did you find
I know?
Out?
A person that we both know, you know, got in contact with me. He was like, hey, you know, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah.
Catch up.
Yeah, doing catch up. And I was like, I'm fine. Da, da, da. You know, living in Hawaii, living my best life out here on the island. You know, shaka bra.
Oh, isn't that crazy? You know who's also?
Wow. And I was like, oh, this guy that totally messed with
are they aware
head. I don't know, I really hope not,
of like your stance
on how I feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
After that I was like, no trust in anybody. I was single.
That's fair.
Single for a long time. I was like 19.
It felt like forever for someone like you.
Yeah, which, for somebody who wants
which we
to
relate. So someone like
have,
me.
I know. We want to have that like connection.
Yeah.
And
we need our affection.
Yeah.
We need the herd.
We need the herd. And
we need our herd.
It's hard
people.
To find the herd.
It's
we
hard
found
to find
each
our
other.
Herd party. Yes, we have found.
So.
Herdmate.
That's my dicey confession. He's here, and I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway. Can we talk more about Tiles and Jaffe? I'm kidding, obviously. No.
Oh, goodness. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Goodness. Well, as I was saying in a conversation before the podcast, it is what it is.
Yeah.
What we will do is we'll make adult decisions.
Amen.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
Definitely not taking any kind of bullshit like that. We're far past
that.
I would never expect that out of you now. I would be
obviously
royally disappointed.
Oh, 100%.
I
would be disappointed myself.
No, of course, of course you would be.
But yeah.
Do you have
a dicey confession?
Oh goodness. You know, when I was thinking about this topic, I was like, what kind of like bad things have I done in D&D that I would like confess to doing? And the only small one I'll say is I'm a firm believer in
the numbers and the dice
reflect the game.
Yeah.
And so I'm not a min-maxer. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not a min-maxer. I definitely like to be efficient. I look for the most damage and I look for all the things, but I'm also not really trying to go for the full min-max.
Yeah.
There is a line, you know? And so I really create my characters through the role play or through...
Yeah, through the dice, through the rolls.
Yeah, through the like... essence of them rather than through I'm gonna make a barbarian, he's gonna have 6 intelligence, I'm gonna dump stab intelligence, hyper stat, strength con, dex, savage attacker,
barbarian,
you know, fighting style, feat, all that jazz. I do like to make my people powerful, so I will do that, but I mainly make them for aesthetical purposes and like their story. The only time, so I don't fudge rolls. That's what I was trying to say. I don't fudge rolls. I don't fudge my stats. Usually, because it's all part of the story.
It's hard to fudge stats, right?
Kind of. When someone's really not looking, it's kind of hard to be a DM and be aware of everything. So I mean, obviously, if I have 20s and everything, that's fucking weird. But if my lowest is a 12. And I have 2 14s, a 16, an 18, and a 20.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't look crazy, but that's crazy.
Kind of crazy.
So I will confess to, I was playing in a game where I was like having a falling out with the DM and the people there. And so my character was going through these like transformations. He let me respec some classes. I was like full warlock and I wanted to like respec some, redo some levels in fighter just because his backstory and all that jazz made more sense for it.
Yeah.
And for the build I was trying to do. And so while I was transitioning that, one of the things I needed was like a higher intelligence.
I see.
So I just fudged it. I just boosted my stats without the DM knowledge. They're still pretty statted. He's got like a 20 charisma and a 16 intelligence. Is this the game that you're currently
still playing?
I will not say. No, it is. It is as of recording this, it is. But yeah, that's my dicey confession. It's nothing crazy. Oh my god, I'm fudging my stats. But no, that was the only thing I could really think of in like a confession of D&D. Yeah. Oh, I rolled a nat 20 and seduced a gold dragon once.
I love that.
Yeah, it was very great. It was in one of those. It wasn't a serious game type moment where it was like you really fucked a dragon, but in like a casual, like literally the campaign's name was like Continental Chaos. It was like we were all champions from our own continent looking for the previous champion that had gone lost. So we were all like the runner-ups. And we were working with this gold dragon and we helped her out. And I was like a monkey. I was like a dozy.
My god, you were a donkey.
Yeah, I had a donkey moment. Nice. And so, yeah, I think I rolled a nat 20 and I got with a...
You got with that gold dragon,
an
baby.
Ancient gold dragon lady. She was great.
Yeah.
And then I asked to, like, change my monk subclass from Drunken Master to, like, Ascendant Dragon. So I was like, ooh.
This makes sense.
Exactly. So that's my dicey confessions for this episode. Any other thoughts?
Thoughts? I've just been so stressed this week. Just there's a lot of thoughts going around in this head, but I don't think it's, you know,
for this episode. Yeah. Totally. Well, let's wrap it up there then.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, everybody. And we will catch you next time on The Dicey Duo with
Kai
and Rain.
There we go. See you guys later.
Signing off. We'll be right back.